This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Well, good morning, America. Excuse me. The Bradford pear tree is still out there. This is Gun Owners News Hour. I try to look out for defensive gun uses and firearm-related accidents because those are all learnable moments. As with anything that involves this kind of skill set, you always want to do after-action reviews whenever you can see these things. Now, you can look around, and there's a lot of news aggregators and blogs out there, and you can follow people that are out there looking at this stuff. Or you could just save all your time and trouble and go follow something called the DUF Digest, Defensive Use of Firearms, by Stephen Wenger, W-E-N-G-E-R. As he notes, it is a free digest of news and other material on tactics and defense of our rights. And there you will find various things. Like, there's this one thing that I saw that is sort of a rules violation. A firearms incident that led to a negative outcome. And a failure to do right in terms of safe firearms use. This does happen. And it was a Rule 5 issue. Rule 5 is a concept that was, if you look at Wenger's work, you'll figure it out. It's a failure to maintain control of defense equipment. In this particular case, it's the wrong gun in the wrong place at the wrong time, and a lack of awareness that it posed. And it's tragic. A 13-year-old girl was fatally shot by accident in the Nashville area. Her mother was attempting to take keys out of her purse when she accidentally triggered an unholstered .40-caliber semi-auto in her purse, according to police. Police said in a statement, she said it went off as she was attempting to retrieve her keys from the purse. Off-body carry is On a good day, it's a dicey idea. But you can make it really, really worse if you just throw the gun in there loosely in the container, a purse, a backpack, a briefcase, whatever, without a holster covering the trigger guard. Even a clip-on inside the waistband holster inside the bag is better than nothing. Wearing the gun on your person is always going to be vastly better. There's a lot of problems that come with this, not just, even if you do it the most safe ways possible, right? Even if you do it the most safe ways possible. First of all, whatever's going around the trigger guard needs to be rigid. These cloth holsters that you see sometimes. And if you have to stick the gun in the holster, and it's a cloth holster, that should be done outside of the whatever bag you're carrying it in. You might want to, Super Dave Harrington gets out there, and one of the things he says is that if you're going to carry off body, carry it on a empty chamber with a dead trigger in the case of a semi-automatic gun, which is, you know, that means that you have one more step to get into before you put the gun in action, but it's one way to ensure a little more safety with it. But even a clip-on inside the waistband holster inside the bag is better than nothing. No charges have been filed in that incident, but the investigation continues, as they say. So, in explanation of the Rule 5, having control of your firearm means that the muzzle is maintained in the safest available direction and the trigger is protected from being touched by anything. One rule's violation cascaded into others, as too often happens. Why is a purse a lousy place to carry a handgun? Let me count the ways. It could have been any off-body container, a briefcase, a backpack, camera bag, anything that would be a prime target for muggers. See, that's one of the things about They're not going to try to steal your hips. They're going to try to steal your bag. I mean, I carry camera bags on a regular basis. As Wenger notes, there are ways to secure guns in bags, like the dedicated purse that's designed to carry a gun with a holster that covers the trigger guard area. And this is basic stuff. Some people who carry off-body handle, with or without a proper holster, figure they'll cover themselves by carrying without a round in the chamber, also known as Israeli carry, which is the Super Dave Harrington method. And there are still those who believe that they can predict when things will get dangerous, so they insist on carrying a pistol half-loaded. And then Wenger, of course, comes to the empty chamber fail. Now, understand this about Dave. Dave can carry a gun any way he wants to, because Dave lives with a gun. Dave sleeps thinking about what he's doing with a gun. He is a samurai when it comes to gun handling in today's world. And Dave knows how to. Dave trains chambering a round. He actually does that as part of his training thing, where he works without a round in the chamber. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to do that kind of intensive training in that setup, that's fine. But just remember this: you're going to be losing that fine motor skill, and you're going to go to gross motor skill, and you're going to have two hands to draw and chamber a round under stress. Now, Dave also trains to get somebody off of him to where he can have two hands available to chamber a round, you know, under stress. He also knows how to chamber a gun without having two hands. He can do it with one. And I mean, if you're willing to put in that kind of time, that's fine. That's fine. Go for it. But for the rest of you, what are you going to do when the fight is over with people milling around responding? Are they going to help you clear the chamber? If that's the way you carry it, how are you going to reholster the gun? It's going to be chambered if you reholster it in your backpack or purse. A handgun is a survival rescue tool. Emergency, you know, it's only useful in very few situations. But if it's truly needed, then there's nothing else going to do the job. Making it more difficult to get it and use it is not a good idea. And if you want to see an example of the empty chamber fail, let's go to Memphis, where a shopper got into an altercation with a man who hit a woman in the face. When he decided to get in the situation, the offender struck him. And that was followed by the Good Samaritan being shot by the attacker. The victim took 9 shots, seriously injured. When asked by a reporter what happened, the defender explained that his gun wasn't ready for any exchange of gunfire. He said, "Yeah, I had a firearm on me, but I didn't have it engaged. I just left home, didn't feel a need to have something in the head, and that's how he's able to shoot me, and I wasn't able to shoot back." If you're really worried about the semi-automatic going off on its own, go get a revolver. And if you have to carry the gun half-loaded, stay at home. Staying at home combined with minding your own business could prevent a number of surgical interventions. And, you know, for those who recall their military service with an empty chamber over 5 rounds of ball in the magazine, and for those who are fond of Israeli carry because it works for them, I recommend you rethinking your tactics. It does help to learn from the mistakes of others and to thank God that we didn't make those same mistakes. And, you know, I'm not picking on these particular individuals, but these things did happen. And none of these things were accidents. All of these were unforced errors. And that's something that you have to take into consideration when you carry a gun. That's all that you, like I said, it has a limited purpose, and it better be ready to go if that purpose is breached. Mine are always ready to go in the event of that purpose being breached. I recommend you train the same way, carry the same way, be ready all the time. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
And welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. We're going to talk statistics right now because you keep hearing a bunch of statistics. And I'm going to give you some statistics about guns and crime, okay? Now, 53% of the 21 states with restrictive concealed carry laws have a higher violent crime rate than the national average. 55% of states with a violent crime below the national average have permitless carry. 40% of firearm possessed criminals were already prohibited from carrying a gun. As of 2024, in the latest study, 2.5 million Americans use firearms for self-defense each year. 68% of the felons that were convicted of crimes while in possession of a firearm were already felons. The UK and Australia have a higher number of homicides per firearm than the United States. Now, we know that there's somewhere, depending on who you talk to, between 82 and 130 million lawful firearm owners in the United States today. A 2018 study shows that 68, well, I've already hit that. Let's get on to this. So, in 2022, Wyoming had the least firearm-related homicides, 17, and more firearms per person than any state. So if it was the guns, this would be higher. States with the highest number of crime guns recovered have varying rates of ownership, meaning that lawful firearm ownership has no correlation to firearm-related crime. The number of American citizens who support strict gun control has declined since 1992. 56% in 2023 versus 78% in 1990. Of the 29 states with permitless carry, only 10 have violent crimes above the national average. Now, per ATF E-Trace, states with the highest rates of gun ownership have the fewest gun crimes, but states with large population sizes have higher rates of guns used in crimes recovered. And the five states with the highest number of recovered guns have varying rates of lawful gun ownership: California, Texas, Florida, Georgia, and Illinois. Now, gun violence statistics vary due to different state laws. Of the 13 least restrictive gun states, 2008, two-thirds of criminals convicted of a crime where the firearm wasn't involved weren't stopped by existing laws and wouldn't have been stopped by stricter legislation. 31% would not have been prohibited from firearm possession if the gun laws were stricter. 40% were already prohibited. 28.9% would have been prohibited if gun laws were stricter. And this does not include the age of the offender at the time of the arrest, and therefore the number of prohibited persons may be higher. Because then we start talking about gang members, right? A 2018 study performed on inmates in Illinois showed that 74% of reoffenders were convicted of a second firearm-related crime within 10 years. 68% of felons used illegal guns. 67% of murderers had a prior arrest record. 21% of murderers had multiple prior arrests. 2.3% of 7,632,470 arrests in 2020 involved weapons. 2.3%. Many gun control proponents state that other countries do not have as many homicides as the United States, but you can see that gun ownership does not correlate with homicide rates. Nigeria, 3 firearms owned per 100,000 people, per 100 people, 44,200 homicides. Brazil, 8.29 per 100. 40,824. Mexico, 12.91. 35,700. India, 5.3. 28,522. The United States, 120.48 firearms per 100 people, 24,867 homicides. Now, we look at, let's consider the UK versus the U.S. The U.K. has 615,000 firearms with 673 total homicides, as opposed to the United States, 500 million with 24,867 total homicides. That's 0.21 homicides per firearm in the U.K. and 0.004 homicides per firearm in the U.S. We have access to 20,107 firearms per homicide. In the U.K., they only have access to 915 per homicide. So more firearm access does not increase homicides. Australia versus the U.S. Australia has 3.5 million guns with only 222 homicides in 2021. We have half a billion with 24,867. That's 0.006 homicides per firearm in Australia and only 0.004 homicides per firearm in the U.S. Australians, we have access to 20,000 per homicide. Australians have access to 15,000 per homicide. The number of accessible firearms does not increase the number of homicides. Another core aspect of this is the U.S. had 2,486,144 reported violent crimes in 2022 and 23. The UK had 4,210,952 during that same period. With one-tenth of the firearms in the U.S., the UK had twice as many violent crimes. We can look at the ATF crime data for 2021 to better understand which states have the higher gun crimes. What about concealed carry? There are 21 states with violent crime rates higher than the national average. Of those states, 53% restrict concealed carry with permits and registrations. These reports, as far as defensive gun uses, actually come from the CDC, which has since been removed from their website. But at a minimum, 40,000 more individuals use firearms in self-defense situations than were murdered by them. There were 20,950 firearm-related homicides in 2021. There were 47,286 homicides and suicides related to firearms in 2021 as well. So that means there was more suicide than homicide with a firearm. So we've been looking at this the wrong way. We need to be looking at this at what happens per gun that's out there, because they keep telling us it's the guns. They keep telling us it's the guns. So we need to look at this with their lens. Let's use their lens and show it to them, because then they really get stomped into the mud at that point. Just a little object lesson for you to gnaw on this weekend as we go about our day. But just remember this, this is looking at stats where they consider some real numbers, like the number of guns. Actually, we keep hearing that there's 300 million guns in the United States. That's been way gone. They're working with a number of 500 million. That's much more accurate in my view. So keep that in mind as I send the phone call to voicemail. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to chamberscustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
USA News Update. Engineering teams are extensively evaluating the aftermath of Friday's earthquake, described as the most powerful in a century.
Surveying our bridges, our roads, any area there could be a fault line that is not easily detectable, to make sure that passengers on our rails as well as our commuters are safe.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul said, fortunately, there have been no reports of injury or damages. The U.S. currently has no intentions of conducting an independent inquiry into the deaths of seven aid workers from the World Central Kitchen in Gaza. John Kirby, White House National Security Council spokesman, said the administration is reviewing the findings of the investigation conducted by the Israeli government. According to a recent report from Microsoft, the Chinese government is running counterfeit social media profiles posing as U.S. voters and inquiring about their opinions on American political matters. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Now, recently somebody did something that I don't normally see in the mainstream media. Somebody did some investigative reporting. And they decided to look at California because California, of course, Gavin Newsom, he has presidential aspirations. He wants to add a 28th Amendment to the United States that would implement what is called common sense constitutional protections and gun safety measures that Democrats, Republicans, independent voters, and gun owners overwhelmingly support. Of course, he has no real evidence that anybody supports this. But what he wants to do is enshrine at the federal level several of California's gun laws, including what the governor and the state call a ban on assault weapons. So let's look at that to begin with. There is not universal agreement that California's gun laws actually amount to a functional ban on assault weapons. Political columnist Dan Walters wrote in August 21st, 2023 about this proposal for CalMatters. California's assault rifle ban is something of a joke. The targeted firearms are readily available in gun stores after undergoing a few cosmetic alterations that do nothing about their lethality. Now, a gun that fires a 5.56 millimeter projectile is lethal if the barrel is unobstructed. It doesn't matter if it has a muzzle device on it. It doesn't matter if it has a handguard around the barrel. It doesn't matter if it has a pistol grip. It doesn't matter if the stock, you know, is adjustable. None of those things matter. What makes it lethal is an unobstructed barrel. Now, Newsom would probably disagree with that analysis that it's all cosmetic the way they do it there. But they can't even get on a regular consensus of what defines an assault weapon. So, looking at this, Capital Weekly decided to look at this. And a reporter from them met up with multiple weapons experts at a gun range in Las Vegas to fire two versions of the infamous AR-15. One that meets the Golden State's restrictive gun laws and one that doesn't. And as well as a full-blown, fully automatic M4. They were put under the guidance of gun historian Ashley Lubinsky, whose resume includes a stint at the Smithsonian Institution's National Firearms Collection. So they dove headfirst into the rabbit hole of assault weapon definitions, bump stocks, state-level restrictions, and Second Amendment rights. And they were trying to come to an understanding about what really matters when it comes to public safety. And this was going to be a journey into a thorny, complex, nuanced policy issue. So they begin with the standard AR-15, which in their view has become as much of a political weapon as a physical one. It has been used in a line of horrific mass shootings, including schools at Uvalde, Texas, Newtown, Connecticut, and Parkland, Florida, and at a country music concert in Las Vegas. And this makes it a potent symbol for gun control advocates who want to see assault weapons excised. But before you get into all the politics, you have to establish some basic facts about gun terminology, which can be colored by a lot of misconceptions and distinctions that even political junkies may have overlooked. Assault rifle and assault weapon, these are not synonyms, even though they may sound like the same thing. The term assault rifle traces its origins to Nazi Germany, which mass-produced a gun known as the Sturmgewehr. Sturmgewehr roughly translates to assault rifle. Since then, that term has come to generally be interpreted the world over as a selective fire rifle. Selective fire rifles have the ability to toggle between semi-automatic and automatic modes. Now, most people know that a rifle is a long gun, typically fired from shoulder level, but the terms automatic and semi-automatic, these are used on purpose to confuse people. With a fully automatic weapon, a machine gun, if you will, pull down the trigger, it's just going to shoot over and over again. You don't have to move your hand at all. Just keep it there. You got rounds coming out the end of the barrel continuously like water from a hose. Fully automatic weapons at the civilian level have been heavily regulated with the National Firearms Act of 1934, but they're not banned. But new domestic machine guns made after 1986 are banned under the Firearm Owners Protection Act of 1986, the Hughes Amendment, if you will. Selective fire weapons are used by the military, and that's the context you're most likely to encounter them. But, you know, under very strict regulation, there are some out there in the hands of collectors. I think there's some, it's in the six-figure range. But then when you turn to semi-automatic guns, that things become sort of murky. The term assault weapon, as used by the politicians, applies to semi-automatic guns with special features. But the definition changes depending on who you're talking to. It's much newer, rising to prominence in the 1980s thanks to gun control advocates like Josh Sugarman. And he explained in a paper that the term could be employed to influence the public. He said assault weapons, just like armor-piercing bullets, machine guns, and plastic firearm, are a new topic. The weapon's menacing looks, coupled with the public's confusion over fully automatic machine guns versus semi-automatic assault weapons, anything that looks like a machine gun is assumed to be a machine gun, can only increase the chance of public support for restrictions on these weapons. So from the very beginning, the term assault weapon was used, at least in part, to confuse automatic and semi-automatic guns, which, as Sugarman noted, looked a lot alike but functioned completely differently. A semi-automatic can only fire one round per trigger pull. If you pull the trigger and hold it down, silence. One round, silence. Now, you can depending on how much you train and how well you can work with a gun, you can fire a semi-automatic gun really fast. The speed of a machine gun's discharge is more of a function of how well the gun is made, whereas a trigger, somebody that knows how to manipulate a trigger really well, complete, and, you know, the faster you're shooting, you're losing accuracy. Fully automatic weapons are not nearly as accurate as semi-automatic in the one shot, but, you know. All that being said, with the difference in the functions, some gun control advocates maintain that no reasonable citizen should have a need for either a fully automatic or a semi-automatic gun. But this all relies on twisted semantics and a misunderstanding of how wide a variety of guns operate. Like the semi-automatic pistol, every time the trigger of a semi-automatic pistol is pulled, a bullet is fired. A new round is chambered automatically. And semi-automatic pistols use the energy from the gun's recoil or from gases produced when it's fired to power the rechambering action. Revolvers have a revolving cylinder, so when you pull the trigger, the cylinder revolves, and then you get a new chamber. As the trigger is pulled, it leaves one chamber, and the cylinder revolves, lining up the bullet in the next chamber. They can only fire one bullet per trigger pull, but they are not classified as semi-automatic guns, even though they practically function in a similar fashion. Yep, they're still pushing to ban all semi-automatic guns. Now, wait a minute. They're not talking about banning revolvers, but that may be because revolvers generally only hold 5 or 6 rounds at a time. We're going to continue this in the next segment because this dive into this is interesting to consider what mainstream media has found in their deep dive into what really is and is not the truth about certain guns and gun control. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Time. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Talking about this deep dive some regular mainstream media made looking at California's laws that they have in place because of what Newsom wants to do. Let's get back to the AR-15. AR-15 today is actually a style of rifle, solely a semi-automatic rifle. The AR comes from the name of the gun's original manufacturer, Armalite Incorporated, the Armalite rifle. It does not stand for assault rifle or automatic rifle. Some people say it stands for America's rifle. But AR-15 has become a term like Xerox. It just covers the makings of the platform. And unless you modify it with add-ons, an AR-15 fires one round per trigger pull. You can put a bump stock on it, but it's still firing one round per trigger pull because the bump stock is just bumping your finger off of the trigger. That's why it's called a bump stock. It can't spray rounds by holding down the trigger. Bump stocks don't make the semi-automatic gun automatic. Now, if you listen to it fire, you'd be forgiven if you thought it was a fully automatic weapon. Armalite, then based in Costa Mesa, originally designed the AR-15 in the 1950s as a selective fire rifle to be sold to the U.S. military. In the beginning, nobody was really interested in it. Then it moved into the civilian market. But then the company sold the design and the rights to the name of the well-known gun manufacturer Colt. So in the 60s, the U.S. military chose Colt to make selective fire rifles for troops in Vietnam. So they used the design of the original AR-15 to produce these, and they were renamed the M-16. And then Colt later made a civilian version of the M-16 that was semi-automatic and called it the AR-15. When Colt's patent on the design expired in the late 1970s, other manufacturers started making their own versions. And this is why it's known today as a style of rifle, not a specific make or brand. Regardless of the manufacturer, M16s and AR-15s do look pretty similar. They do not operate in the same way. AR-15s are only semi-automatic. M16s are fully automatic. They have selective fire. As the U.S. Supreme Court once described in the 1994 gun rights case Staples v. United States, The AR-15 is the civilian version of the military's M16 rifle and is, unless modified, a select or semi-automatic weapon. The M16, in contrast, is a selective fire rifle that allows the operator, by rotating a selector switch, to choose semi-automatic or automatic fire. So right there, we know that it's already been decided by the Supreme Court. We'll have to revisit that another day. Now, some AR-15s as semi-automatic weapons might meet a definition in certain cases, and that has made them the target of bans both federally and in California. Now, when they banned those, Americans purchased the weapon in droves after it lapsed under Bush. California has maintained its own assault weapons ban, originally enacted in 1989 and subsequently tweaked and expanded in the years after. So in California, an AR-15 is legal as long as any version of the rifle is 30 inches or longer and doesn't feature a flash suppressor, which reduces the visibility of a discharging barrel's light signature. They began by outlawing specific makes of guns, then in 1999 switched to banning guns based on their characteristics, or more specifically, a collection of their characteristics. So, under one set of conditions, an AR-15 may be legal if its magazine is fixed, meaning the gun is essentially to be deassembled in order for it to be reloaded. If your AR-15 has a fixed magazine, that's basically the only limitation it needs to have, in addition to being at least 30 inches long without a flash suppressor. And in California, you can only load 10 rounds into it. But if you want an AR-15 with a detachable magazine, you have to remove some additional features from the rifle. You can't have one with a pistol grip, which actually makes it more comfortable to use, or a adjustable shoulder stock. So in addition to no flash suppressor and it has to be 30 inches long, it has to have no pistol grip and no adjustable shoulder stock. And maybe you can get out there and figure out the logic they were trying to do. They thought by making it 30 inches long, they were trying to make them harder to conceal. By banning flash suppressors, they were trying to make it easier to spot shooters. And by restricting magazine capacity, they were trying to force shooters to reload often. And when you had to choose between a fixed magazine and comfortable accessories or a detachable magazine and no comforts, they were trying to make the use and reloading of the gun as cumbersome as possible, which may make sense on paper, but you're more likely to stop a mass shooting if the shooter can't conceal him or herself, or if he or she has to reload it often if the gun being used is awkward to hold and fire. That would all seem helpful in preventing mass shootings. But L.A. Second Amendment lawyer Costa Moros pointed out, the people who pass these laws don't know anything about guns. He said, California's assault weapons ban has done very little other than make the ownership of an AR-15 a pain in the butt for law-abiding citizens in the Golden State. The idea that this is going to stop a criminal is very silly. Gun historian Ashley Hablinski now works as a museum consultant and as the executive director of the University of Wyoming's Research Center, advised Capital Weekly on how to accurately describe the AR-15 and its mechanics and history. She also introduced two women who arranged for them to test a bunch of versions, like Laura Smith, a Sacramento area lawyer and the national spokeswoman for the Liberal Gun Club. They describe themselves as pro-Second Amendment voice for left-of-center gun owners. So Smith and her husband, Ed, a Marine Corps veteran, brought two California-compliant AR-15s to Las Vegas, one with a fixed magazine and one with a detachable magazine. And they went to range 702, shooting range just off of the strip. Chris Chansky is the chief operating officer there. They also had an M4 fully automatic weapon that she has a special permission to operate and introduced them to the range safety officer. So, at the range, it was a pro-gun crew of advisors, although not stereotypical ones and certainly not ones that felt a lot of affinity for some things. Hablinski did not actually attend it. Ed Smith and Basinga began unloading the guns and comparing their features. What they discovered was just the difference. The differences in some of the things like the paddles. These are called the fin grips because they look like the fin of a dolphin. At the back of the handle, there's a long, wide piece of plastic that extends like a fin. And keeping your thumb on the side of the handle away from the tips of the other fingers curling around the front. And in theory, featureless grips make you shoot slower. But that's the theory. What it actually does is makes the gun harder to control. And control when firing a weapon is actually a very, very important thing. So when they got done, they came away from this with an idea that's just easier to shoot and slot a lot of things that go along with these guns. In the hands of a novice, one version of the California legal AR-15 could reasonably duplicate the targeting of a non-California legal one. The other one, not so much. And when it comes to mass shootings, you're not worried about the novices, and you're more worried about experienced trained shooters. So they had a Navy vet and the range safety officer ahead of its training program. They timed how quickly they could reload all three versions and how accurately that they could be shot. And they were able to reload the running out of time with that. You get my drift. It was a very interesting read. I'll be back with you next weekend. Stay awake, stay aware, carry your concealed weapon everywhere. This has been Gun Owners News Hour.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.